John Chillag, Reel One. So if I could ask you, first of all, John, to tell me about your family background, you know, where your family originated.
The family originated in what once was the Habsburg Empire, to a large extent. And my father from the Hungarian part, my mother from the Slovakian part, and the further back in history one goes, the more nationalities come into it. I've got Swedish ancestors, I've got Italian ancestors, obviously Austrian ones within the Habsburg Empire. I even got some knighted British relatives.
How about your immediate grandfathers, you know, your grandparents?
My paternal grandfather lived in the town called Győr in Hungary, which is exactly halfway between Budapest and Vienna. He worked for a large landowner. He was the sort of manager of the estate. And when he got married and had quite a number of children, the landowner, in recognition of the good work my grandfather was doing, educated or paid for the education of all the children. And then, after that, my grandfather moved to Győr and settled there. And my grandmother, paternal grandmother, also came from that region. They got married in the sort of 1860s. Had seven children. My father was the youngest of those. And my grandfather died in 1911. And with whatever money was available, my grandmother set up a construction business for the children. And in later years, yes, the children took that over. Although my grandmother was in it until 1943, at the age of 92, when she died. My maternal grandparents I know far less about. I have no paperwork of any sort. And my grandfather worked in local government in a place that nowadays is called Dunajská Streda, just on the other side of the Danube in Slovakia, from the Hungarian side in Europe. He lived in that place with my grandmother until my grandfather died. They had three children, and my mother was the oldest of those two. And from my maternal grandparents, I knew in childhood that they were very proud of their two British relations. I don't know the exact relationship. And those two persons were Armin Bambury, who was mentioned of the royal family in the early 20th century, explorer. And another explorer and anthropologist, who became in 1912 Knight Commander of the Indian Empire.
And how about your parents? Could you tell me now about your parents?
My father was born in 1896. Grew up to the military age just in time for the First World War, part of it. And he became a lieutenant in the Transport Corps. My mother was 4 years younger, and she was still at home until the end of the First World War. And for just to see the world, she went to Vienna. My father, for political reasons, and I can go into details if necessary, went into exile to Vienna in 1920. They met in Vienna, they got married, and eventually I was born.
This would have been due to the events following World War One, I expect, would it?
Yes. At the end of World War One, virtually all European countries had some sort of an uprising revolution, which in time varied from one country to another. And my father, being in the Transport Corps, was appointed by the Revolutionary Council as a movement officer at the major railhead, sort of a glorified station master, if you like. And when the uprising or the revolution came to an end in Hungary, he thought it prudent to nip across the border, and Jura was only about 15, 20 miles from the by then Austrian border. And he settled in Vienna.
And what were the, what was your father doing there? You know, what was his profession or job?
Professionally, my father was an accountant. To what extent he professionally qualified, certainly at that time, I don't know. But that was his sort of mainstay. And obviously, with the background he had, he was quite politically involved with a fairly steady friend of circle of friends. And some of those became quite well known in the Western world. Just to pick a couple of names, Benedict Kautsky from Austria, who became very well known politically. He was the son of Karl Kautsky, but was even more famous. And Benedict Kautsky, in later years, finished up in Buchenwald and afterwards went back to Austria. Another person was somebody called Santo, about whom I might tell later. And there were quite a number of political figures whose names may not be so important, but
So your father,
in later years.
Yeah. So your father was pretty politically active all these years.
Well, certainly until sort of the 30s or thereabouts, and I sort of vaguely remember some of the goings on, and number of these people with whom he was involved.
And these would all have been people to the left, am I right?
To the left, various shades of left. I was born in 1927 and spent my first few years in Austria. And from very early childhood, I remember that my parents kept my first plan because in the political situation prevailing in Vienna at the time, whilst my mother was pushing the plan with some friends and their young offspring, and there was a certain amount of shooting, and whilst I escaped, the plan did not. Well, he got bullet holes in it. Of my very early childhood, I don't remember all that much, except, call it my holidays. The leftish circle of my parents had an organized young political group holiday camps every year, and I remember going on some of those and seeing some more of Austria and Italy and Dalmatia. For summer holidays.
Was your family a religious family?
No. I qualify the question of how religious the family was. My paternal side was not religious at all. They were not. Some of them were actually atheists, and others were just non-religious. My mother came from an Orthodox family, but she was not religious. But whenever in my childhood we went visiting my maternal grandparents, it was a change of atmosphere and surroundings. Other than that, in later school life, obviously, one had to go to what today I called RE classes, that was the extent of religion and family.
Did you have a consciousness, though, of your Jewish origins and identity?
One was aware of Jewish origins because in primary school we went to a Jewish primary school, and obviously we knew that we were different from other children who went to the state or other religious schools. But up to my sort of early childhood years, there was no reason to be aware of differences.
Your family would have been assimilated, would it, in Viennese leftish society, is that right?
The family was assimilated for virtually centuries. My earliest roots, as far as I can search out today, go back to 1706, when my ancestor was given a letter patent to live in the community and carry out his trade and so on. And he was assimilated. And from then on, all the successive generations were much the same. My great-great-grandfather took part in the 1848-1849 uprising, and he was leading a group of peasants, battalion or whatever. They were fully emancipated. There were two or three family members who were in the Habsburg army officers, and in fact some of them died in the First World War as officers as well. On the maternal side, they were emancipated, but not to the same extent as the paternal side. My maternal ancestors to a large extent worked in what today is would be called civil service or local government, and so they were integrated with the rest of the population.
So what were the events leading to your move from Vienna?
Austria, right from about 1926-27, was in much greater turmoil than Germany later was. And it was politically quite insecure. And the event resulted quite often in serious disturbances. And then in 1934, first there was something approaching civil war in Vienna with artillery shells going into flats, working men's flats and so on. Followed very shortly thereafter in the summer of 1934 by an attempted putsch by the Germans, resulting in the death of the assassination of the Austrian Chancellor Dolthaus. My father thought, well, this is enough. And in Hungary, matters have quietened down from his sort of post-war history. And he decided to lift anchors and go back to Hungary, where the rest of the family lived.
You would have been seven at the time, John, wouldn't you?
I was seven when the move happened. I went to my first class primary school in Vienna, and then in Hungary, arriving in September, just straight away into the Jewish primary school in the
Well, what do you remember about the civil disturbances of that time? You know, as a six, seven-year-old young boy, did it impinge directly on your life?
It impinged with all the sort of activities in Vienna to the extent that well, one didn't use air raid shelters or that sort of thing, but one had to duck to avoid the shells or the firing on occasions in 1934, or avoid certain areas of town. It wasn't a very peaceful atmosphere.
So your move to Hungary, could you tell me now about that and your sort of memory of it? How did you feel, you know, having to leave your home in Vienna for something new? Had you been to Hungary on visits?
I never visited Hungary before our move in 1934, simply because my father didn't think it was prudent with the political background he had. And when we moved to Hungary, obviously it was a new situation altogether. At home, we spoke in German. I did not speak a single word of Hungarian when we went to Hungary. But from what I remember and what I heard from other people since, that by the end of that school year, I was held up with the most grammatically correct Hungarian. So at that age, learning languages is relatively easy for most people. And obviously I took advantage of it. At that age again, one makes friends very easy. It was a fairly close-knit group. Friendships have lasted for many years thereafter. So there wasn't really any problem. Mm-hmm. But there were sort of additional bonus points, if you like, because, well, I met my grandmother for the first time. I met all my uncles and aunts and their children. By the older people, I was poet-like, not in the nerd. With the younger generation, various children in the family, much the same age as myself, we had a good time. We lived in my grandmother's business, and her house was in a fairly large ground. And we're playing, climbing trees, going through concrete culverts, and do what children do, anything from conkers to skipping ropes.
Would the town have been very different from Vienna? Gür, is it how you pronounce it?
Gür is the pronunciation of the town I come from. And Gür was obviously not a capital city. It was a largish town, or largish in those days, about 50,000 inhabitants. But it was different from Vienna, no trams, far less traffic. My at that stage still primary school was on the other end of town, but it was only a quarter mile walk to get there. Yes, it was different from a capital city, but it was still a largest conurbation.
Would it have had a sizable Jewish population?
The Jewish population in town was about 10% of the total, about 5,000. Most of the Jewish population were in one way or another part of the more reformed synagogue, and probably about 10% of the Jews were sort of more Orthodox with a different setup.
Were there changes in your own religious life when you moved at all, would you say?
The move did not result in any changes in my sort of religious situation, other than I went to a Jewish primary school, and obviously you had the inculcated school religion. But my paternal family was not religious anyway. All the members of the family may have gone once or twice a year at high festivals to synagogue, but that was probably the extent of their involvement. Even the one person, my father's brother-in-law, one of his brother-in-laws, who was on the synagogue council, was not that religious. He actually has written a book, The History of the Jews of Europe, going back to the Middle Ages.
What would his name be?
He was called, in Hungary you got the first name for, last, so he was Kemény József. And Kemény, spelled K-E-M-E-N-Y, was his surname. He became later director of the Inland Revenue for a major district. And even for an assimilated Jew, that was quite something. He became later not a sir, but a fairly elevated position.
Because the time you moved from 1934 onwards, you know, this was a time of turmoil, wasn't it, in European events. How far were you, as a young boy growing up in Hungary, aware of what was happening, say, in Germany or Spain?
In 1933, Hitler took power in Germany in January. And obviously the situation, as far as Jews are concerned, very rapidly and increasingly deteriorated there. In Hungary itself, the regime was right-wing under Admiral Horthy, who in many ways was the mentor of Hitler politically. And some of the atrocities that happened years later in Germany on a much smaller scale started in Hungary in 1921-1922, when some 5,000 people, mainly Jews, some political people, were executed and 70,000 incarcerated. But having said that, the situation of the Jews was quite good. They were assimilated. The only visible signs of having a problem in this field was the numerous clauses, the restricted number of students in certain faculties in universities, which was introduced in Hungarian legislation in the 1922-1923 period. But apart from that, not much more happened, or certainly not in those years. Austria was in that stage still a free country, but all that changed in 1938 when Austria was annexed by the Germans.